Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And, folks, we have no time left, so it's now or never. We actually have, because with the Biden administration and with the progressives currently in the position they're in, with the control of both houses of Congress, they can inflict upon us anything that they want. Now, do not think that just because the Democrats may not be in control of Congress in 2023 means that, oh, it's a reprieve. I can actually show you, and we're going to get into today, a little bit of perspective regarding how Congress, even under Republican control, does not necessarily mean we're going to have our liberties restored. And we'll prove that. But, as you know, this show is sponsored by Republic Review as well, or republicreview.org as well. You're listening to the only show that goes through the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. And do not forget, we have a few sponsors we'd like to personally endorse. Gary Smith out of Texas, out of, I believe it's the Dallas area, Fortitude Financial Coaching. The beautiful thing about financial coaching, like Dave Ramsey, and he is certified with the Dave Ramsey course or what have you. The nice thing about today's technology is you can actually get a great coach. You can get a great mentor. You can get a great tutoring, education, or what have you remotely. As a matter of fact, if you're looking, because a lot of people that are doing homeschooling or at least getting more engaged in their children's education, I always recommend go check out yaymath.org. And I'm just proving a point, because if you go and watch the videos and look at what your kids can learn, it makes math fun. You're not stuck with, you know, the dry accountant that's going to kind of, you know, in a mundane tone, talk to you about your finances. Gary Smith is a very charismatic, dynamic man from the Marine Corps. And I can expect that he could probably keep it interesting for you as far as why. And as a matter of fact, he has, go check him out. Look for Fortitude Financial Coaching on Facebook and check him out. And look at some of the stuff that he presents, because he will actually show you, you know, some pretty interesting perspectives. A lot of people believe that luck is a driver. His latest meme I saw, and I wanted to share it. Most people believe it is luck that drives a person's success, when actually he proves statistics, and he has this little pie chart. He shows out exactly, you know, what it really takes to be successful. And it's not luck. And when you really look at it, you know, it's easy to just dismiss because you don't like the guy. Oh, the only reason that person, you know, is successful is because of luck. He was in the right. Well, I can say that about certain people. That is true, like Bill Gates and so forth. If you look, it's not like he struggled his way into success. He had a lot of extra advantages, his folks being executives at IBM and so forth. So, anyway, Fortitude Financial Coaching, check out Gary Smith if you're ready to get disciplined and if you're ready to become successful, at least in a financial way. And finances drives a lot of things for success, as you know. ConstitutionEducation.us, Keith Broder's classes are awesome. Check them out. It's some of the stuff he does I really like, what is missing from this line in the Constitution? It forces you to go read it and examine it. And, you know, in so doing, you kind of have to understand what you're reading, and it helps you actually digest the Constitution one line at a time. TimberNation.com. I highly recommend these guys. Go check out Timber, especially if you love hardwood furniture or hardwood, period. I kind of like the American walnut. I love American walnut. It has a rich grain, and you can even get a contrasting grain. You can get like a yellow or a lightish white walnut right next to, in the same tree, in the same, you know, part of that tree, you'll have the white and then the dark. And it's kind of interesting what causes that and so forth, but the depth and the grain of walnut, I just love it. But they cover and carry all different types of hardwoods, and they will get whatever you want. You just may have to pay a lot more for it because, one, the species of wood may be a lot more expensive, and or that it, because it's so hard, like hickory, they tend to, you know, break their blades and so forth. So you may have to pay a little bit more just to replace the blades and all of that. Anyway, TimberNation.com, RadioDustCovers.com. Go look at these things. There are ways you could probably use these. And I think that if you actually go look, you can probably get, I've typically used black, but you can probably use different colors schemes as well for these covers that you have. So check out RadioDustCovers.com if you're looking to protect and or hide things that you just don't necessarily want to be visible. You know, like your printer sitting there. You can have a nice cover for it, protect it, and hide it as well. As well as all of these others, the one that we actually have promos for, and I hope that everybody forgives me because I haven't created the promos for these first four, but AdLocal. AdLocal is a ISP provider, I should say. They provide services. They will not give you the line to your house, but they can provide your services in your domain. So you're not forced to go buy domain hosting and all your domain services from your Comcast, Time Warner, whoever is your internet provider. And there's a lot of competition out there. But the nice thing about AdLocal is that they are conservative and they will not deplatform you. Big advantage, because if you are conservative, you're trying to create a conservative business, a conservative show, promoting conservative ideas, conservative anything, organization, they will not deplatform you. And as I've told you before, that will, and it has happened. Anyway, we've kind of wrapped up natural law. We've kind of talked about a lot of stuff. What I want to do right now is I want to tell you that Wednesday next week, which is the 9th of February, we're going to dive into some political perspectives and a political race, a statewide race that's going on in Idaho. Now, many of you, I have to acknowledge that we have a lot of people that are politically wired and are possibly looking and or know people that are looking to actually run for a statewide office and or a local office or even Congress, a federal office. I talk to a lot of people that listen to the show that are either doing that or thinking about that and so forth. You have all our support. What we're going to do on Wednesday is we're going to look at what a particular statewide race is doing, a campaign is doing in Idaho, and I'll tell you how and why it is short-sighted in what they're doing and why these types of tactics end up 9 times out of 10 burning your butt. By the time you've wrap up your 4-year term, the roosters come home to roost, you know, the chickens, I should say, have come home to roost, so that you start having to deal with in defending in a re-election, you know, why you did what you did. And that's not good. It's far better to have nothing but success. I am telling you, it is far better to have nothing but success behind you. That when people start seeing the things that you do, your attitude, everything exudes success and leading. That's what leaders do. Managers manage. leaders lead. You have to start wiring yourself to actually do the right thing instead of doing things right. And so what we're going to get into now, though, because it's Feedback Friday. And so one of the things that I really want to get into is, apparently a few people were a little baffled by what I was talking about in the natural law or the laws of nature and nature's God when I was talking about homosexuality and the engineering. So there was a part in my book where I actually talked about a point in time where we could advance the study of the genetics and the genomes of human characteristics and traits. And what I read to you didn't necessarily cover that very well. But the fact of the matter is that the APA, a long time ago, created this assertion, or these made this assertion, based on supposedly research that they had done, that a person genetically is predisposed to being homosexual. And so there are and have been a lot of tests and a lot of studies, and the APA has done this because they've been challenged on this for years and years. And this is why in the book we kind of cover the fact that they finally had to admit and recant their 1970 or 71 assertion that you are genetically predisposed to be homosexual. So when we come back, I'll get into what I said and what I meant to say and what you didn't read. And so this way, hopefully, it makes sense for you. We'll be right back after this. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. Okay, so let me move forward. So as we get into this genetic design and we start looking at, you know, what can you do and how can we create these insights, or how can we use these insights in genetic engineering? So down the road, I'm telling you that as they talk about engineering better roads and they make life better with engineering, do not marginalize the future being engineered biogenetically, in other words, in the genetic side, genetic engineering, do not marginalize this concept that they want to engineer better humans and a better human race. This is going to be bad. This will be biblically bad, my friends. But in my book, I place context to this genetic engineering and this concept of genetic engineering. That let's say down the road, and so everybody's going, they were kind of responding and not understanding what I was saying regarding adultery. So let's say that they find this genetic disposition, this genetic code that makes a person highly likely, if not almost 100% likely, that that person's going to cheat, that they can't be, you know, they can't, you know, be fidelity. They can't have fidelity in their marriage. They're just a born cheater. There's a lot of people like that. And let's say they find this. Well, if they find that trait, and let's say, because look at what they're doing in India and what they're doing in China. If there's a huge market for this and everybody wants to make sure that they're marrying a companion that, you know, doesn't have that trait, well, then, you know, there may be these tests that they'll start, you know, that a guy or a girl would say, I want you to take this genetic test. I want to make sure you won't ever cheat on me. At least I want to make sure you're not determined or predetermined that you will become a cheater. Does that make sense? So we're going down this path to where all of a sudden, let's say we want to eradicate that. You know, we find out that somebody has that gene. Well, maybe we either mark them so that they'll never be able to procreate, or we just do away with them. Look at the movie Minority Report. Minority Report actually puts a different spin, but it shows this how society has migrated to where we want to arrest people before they commit the crime. Now, here's the interesting thing, and this is an indictment on that movie, because, and this is an indictment on most people that have seen this movie and have not actually recognized what they were doing in the movie. If you remember at the very beginning of the movie, it starts off with Tom Cruise and a bunch of these law enforcement folks that, you know, SWAT team in on this guy that the precognitive people in this tank see that this person is going to, you know, go back into the house that went off to work and find his wife and her lover in, you know, in the beginning of a sexual tryst while, you know, he's supposedly off to work. And the precognitives see that he is going to kill them. When this movie was produced, it was legal in almost every state in the union that if you walked in on anybody, walked in on their spouse, husband, wife, it doesn't matter, and they, in a fit of rage, ended up killing both the lover and the spouse, that would have been justifiable homicide. So this movie is pushing this condition to basically create this protection. Why were they using this? Because I've talked to you about this concept of, well, the best way to put it is how we basically try to reduce the consequences of sin, take away the consequences of sin, and so forth in society. If we can get to a point where, you know, we're not going to allow you to actually punish us for sin, like in this particular case, walking in on an adulterous affair and then shooting, possibly killing the people that are committing that, well, it's protecting the sin. In other words, there's never a reason for you to ever do anything rash like that. And I'm here to tell you that our disciplined society, we, like I said, every state had these laws. These laws go way back. As a matter of fact, in the old biblical laws, it was, you know, you could stone a person for adultery. right? And Christ basically took us to the newer law that we needed to forgive them. Well, that doesn't mean that an individual, when they're going through this absolute rage, if they lose control and they end up from the passion, the heat of the moment, kill. Well, so I want you to think about this, and I want you to think and put context into the Minority Report. What were they really trying to do? And if you really look at it, they were trying to engineer a society, or in the Minority Report, it was a society that became controlled by these precognitives that were able to stop crime such as that, to stop murders and people being killed and so forth. And so when we look at that, we go, well, you know, is that really a bad thing? I mean, it's one thing for somebody to be killed in a premeditated murder, but it's another thing in somebody, because they've completely marginalized the sin of what was happening in that room at the very beginning. That was an atrocity. Now, yes, as Christians, we shouldn't take a life and we shouldn't be necessarily believing, but we do have to understand that people are susceptible to rage as well. Not just the temptations of sin, but the temptations of rage and that outburst. And so that's why in a Christian society we have tolerated, you know, a person that has actually lost control and done that. So my point here, and going back to genetic engineering, let's say we can find this genetic code. Are we really making it better, or would it be, you know, when you find this person, should you tattoo him? Should you mark him to say this person is a born cheater, like Bill Clinton? And as a matter of fact, most men are kind of... Everybody Loves Raymond. Frank Barone uses one of his idioms or axioms, and he basically states that, you know, men were programmed to, you know, sow the crop where he can. Women were programmed to limit the crop to one farmer. And so he, you know, it's that paradigm that almost all men are kind of predisposed to cheat. Well, maybe not. Maybe it is another problem. But bottom line, in the book, I basically point out to the studies of genetics, let's say we go down that path. Are we really going to open that door and allow that genie out of the bottle? Because it could be this, it could be anything that they're going to use to justify genetic engineering. You got to remember that it was all started with the APA with this false assertion saying that you were genetically disposed to becoming homosexual, when they actually have proven that that's not the case. They did all sorts of tests and studies because they kept on getting called out. We said, we've done these tests, we've done these studies, and we can't prove that. How did you prove this? And by it was like 30 plus years later, they finally said, okay, we can't prove that you are predisposed genetically. But they suppressed that information. The fact of the matter is, we're really looking at, and the reason I brought this up was the fact that we can easily start going down these really dangerous paths when we start believing that we can engineer a better world. There are always unintended consequences when we head down that path. And so the only reason I kind of stuck that in, that little tie to the adulterous type of genetic code, that if we could find that, then what do we do? Do we kill the child because they're predisposed? You know, we test them at birth, just like they do in India? Or do we label them and say, this person can never have a good monogamous affair? And I'm telling you, and I know it's hyperbole. I know it's more rhetoric than reality. But the fact of the matter is, that's how slippery the slope can get. And if you didn't know, before I wrote that book and when I was writing that book, genetic engineering was becoming more and more of a reality. As a matter of fact, it wasn't public knowledge at that time, and I didn't know how much genetic engineering China had been playing with. And so now we start to see the genetic engineering and how they were playing around with just viruses in creating the corona or COVID-19 virus. And this gain of function play that they had been doing. I think anybody that has looked over the past 2 years at genetic engineering, or if you have actually been exposed to what they've been doing, you can realize how slippery that slope is. And that was the only reason I tied that in. It was one of those things that I didn't even realize how profound that information would play out later on. But it is like every other society. Every society tries to believe that they can build a better society one way or another. And now that we have the ability at our fingertips of genetic engineering, we're opening that door, and I'm telling you to be very wary of this. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so some other feedback that we got. One was from Charles. So Charles sent me some information. I've talked about it before, and he kind of brought it up again. And the whole point that Charles has talked about is the Constitution requirement for uniformity. The Constitution clearly states that bankruptcy laws must be uniform amongst the states. And so the federal government started injecting a protection on bankruptcy, and it has become one of those things that actually is it's designed to buy votes. And because it falls under their scope, they've used, actually they're abusing their privilege by buying these votes. We'll get into this, but what I want to do is I want to kind of tie a couple of things together. So I told you earlier that I had two state legislators that we engaged that actually responded to our last week's constitutional minutes, which was about the convention of states. One was a senator from Meridian, and the other one was a representative from Rexburg. So if anybody wants to go online and figure out who's who, you'll probably be able to narrow it down to a couple of names, right? Okay, so when we engage this, here's the whole thing. Both of these responses came from conservative champions, supposedly, and they came right out and basically didn't even read my email, and they made this blanketed assertion that they support, you know, they don't support the convention of states, are adamantly against an Article 5 convention. And so my response back, because I actually called the senator and I emailed the representative, and I basically said, I don't believe you've read my email, because if you read my email, then you wouldn't have sent what you sent, and you actually may have said, you know what, that's kind of interesting. The folks, you got to understand that there are different angles and there's different arguments against the Convention of States. I think the one that is being suppressed the most, that nobody is even talking about, is how the federal government uses its abusive tentacles in supporting its control over things. Can the federal government control anything that is within the Constitution? In other words, do they have jurisdiction over all things listed in the Constitution? Absolutely. And therefore, the federal government, because Article 5 is in the Constitution, because this happens to be one of the fundamental premises for the Convention of States. Hey, it's the one thing that's in the Constitution, so we can use this. Well, yeah, and because it's in the Constitution, the federal government has jurisdiction over it. And so they can actually stonewall, they can actually tie up, they can even control basically how the convention, because they have the ability to call for. So tell me, what does that mean? What does that mean that the Congress can actually, and they're the ones that have to call for the convention? So Congress can actually go down this path of not only just calling it, but calling exactly how and what it will do. And then tie them up in the courts, because guess what? It falls under the federal court system. It is within the Constitution. So this doesn't go back to the states. This is why Madison didn't even talk about this. I think that had Madison actually started looking at it beyond the scope of what he, because he was actually just, this is how you solve the problem. And he was spot on. Republic review or interposition, and it's actually more than just interposition. He calls it interposition, but you have to audit. You have to actually call out and identify what the violations are. Now, back in those days, it was kind of simple. Jefferson used, 5-6 resolutions to end the audit process of how these particular laws, the Alien Sedition Acts, violated the Constitution. Now, in this particular case, you know, what we're looking at is so broad and so widespread that we need to do a full audit, because we want to make sure we capture everything and put it all on the table and force the federal government into compliance. That's the only way we can do this. And so Madison and Jefferson were spot on in not calling a convention. And Madison, in his argument, so go back and read these things. We'll get into it further in future content coverage, but in respect to my comments regarding court jurisdiction, I couldn't emphasize it enough. Well, anyway, so these two champions of conservatism stepped up, and anyway, so I ended up calling and talking to the good senator. Now, I know she's been in session all week, but I have not heard from her. And I cannot believe that she doesn't have an aide, and I cannot believe that she couldn't, because one of the things we talked about was the importance of getting the Idaho Attorney General to join this lawsuit in removing President, or I should say the unconstitutional President Biden and his entire administration. So in this conversation, we were able to talk a bit about both arguing against the convention of states as well as removing the Biden administration. I told her, go read my previous emails and you will actually, I've got all the facts there. Go read them. Well, I have not heard from her yet. And I will just let that go because maybe she's got a little, you know, group of people that are researching this and they'll regroup over the weekend. So I'm going to call her this weekend to see, okay, I'm calling you back. I mentioned to you about the removal of the Biden administration. Did you pursue that further? What happened? Did it just fall flat? Because if it fell flat, then I have to question, how is it you are supporting the Constitution? And so I'm going to let her know to my audience the next week. And I'm heavy. I'm like white on rice when it comes to going after public servants for supporting the Constitution. And if she's not aware, she needs to be aware of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, because we are working to actually obtain the power and the teeth of being able to remove any public servant who refuses to support the Constitution, which means her. So, you know, beware out there, folks. If you're in public service, we actually have the constitutional teeth. It's just that we right now do not have the ability to enforce these things because you public servants have kept it from us. And we're going to make this. I mean, there is nothing more important than the vigilance of citizens and be able to actually hold their public servants and their government accountable. And instead, what we see is these conservatives that are using these ploys of, oh, we're going to buy your votes. We're going to do just like what the progressives are doing. And this is why I am going to speak to you on Wednesday about this statewide race. Because I want you to understand the trappings and, you know, the appeal that people use in these buy your vote type of approaches. But if you're really conservative, if you really want to change things for the better, you have to empower the people to be able to remove their public servants. That means you. In other words, you have to be able to, you know, understand that you're standing on solid ground in everything that you do. And the problem is most public servants don't know, or they don't care. They don't care where they stand on positions. They just do it because they've been able to get away with it. Well, what we're demanding is that ends this year. We want public servants to start empowering us, the electorate, the citizens, to be able to remove, not recall, remove any public servant who has failed to support the Constitution. And the Idaho Attorney General would be one of those situations and cases. And so I'm going to probably even enter into some of the campaigns that are for Attorney General in some of the states. If you know somebody that's running for Attorney General, when we speak to this Idaho statewide races, we're going to put these different positions into context for you, because this is how you need to start attacking. You need to take that Constitution, and it can be the most lethal weapon that you have when it comes to a political career. It can kill a political career just like that. And I say that because Section 3 of the 14th Amendment will end any political career for good. You get banned for life. To me, that's the death of somebody's political career. Do you understand what I just said? Section 3 of the 14th Amendment is the death of any political career out there if they choose not to support the Constitution. We've got everything we need. So we'll be getting into this on Wednesday, and I think you're going to really love this, especially those who are actually getting involved. And if you're working at the party level, because I know that the Constitution Party, every primary or every election, they try to have statewide races, and they need to obtain, you know, a decent percentage just to be on the ballot. More importantly, they need to start looking at how to win and what it takes to win, because that's what we're going to be talking about. What does it really take to win We'll be right back after these two promos.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so now let me kind of tie this whole buying votes or this, you know, this what we're talking about with with these legislators and these statewide campaigns, right? Let's actually go down this path of historically, in the past, how buying votes has become, now it has become, what is it, kryptonite for the Republicans. And I'll get into this. So Charles, a long time ago, talked about bankruptcy laws. And so he basically sent me another tickler this week. And so, Charles, this is how we're going to kind of tie this in. When we start looking at buying votes, because bottom line, back in 1976, this is when this concept of protecting student loans, this is where there was this, hey, you know, we could throw a lot of money into these progressive higher learning institutions and further indoctrinate, because getting more people to go and attend school so that they can get indoctrinated into the communist agenda is a good thing for the communists. And so creating this, you know, this doorway, this portal. Well, in 1976, the Democrat-controlled Congress first initiated this protection over these federal student loans, because the federal dollars were associated to it. They said, we're going to protect this so you can't bankrupt and we don't have to pay, you know, we take the liability and lose this. So in other words, out of the clear blue, it's almost like it's almost the same thing as your government coming along and saying, you know, we know that there's a, you know, potential of you not having a job. And we have this thing called income tax. So we're going to make it so that when you're making income, regardless of whether you have a job or not, we're still going to charge you the same amount of income. We're not going to allow your unemployment to encumber us. It's almost the same thing, folks. Because when you look at everybody else, your mortgages, your car loans, credit card, all of these things where you can be careless in taking on debt and then find yourself in a position where you can't pay that debt back. See, the government knew that that debt could be even greater than a mortgage. Go look at what it takes, what the cost of a four-year college or an eight-year college or degree and or, you know, like for your doctorate and so forth. It's more than a mortgage, especially if you're going to these top-notch schools. Now, if you're going to, you know, even the online cheap or these, you know, National University, University of Phoenix type of schools, they're still kind of expensive, but you're not paying the same price as you would for Harvard. And so the fact of the matter is they created this scheme of driving revenue and basically inflating our currency as well. Because if they're putting money into the system, it basically is like printing money. When government hands you money and says, we're just going to give you these loans, but you have to pay them back. And driving people into school that normally would never have thought about that. And they created these terms that made it seem just absolutely ridiculous. Like, well, as long as you're drawing on the loan, as long as you're in school, you don't have to worry about paying the loan back. You just start paying us back when you finally finish school and you get your job. And then they come after you. And so, anyway, back to this whole buying of votes. This all began in 1976 with the Democrat-controlled Congress when they enacted this bankruptcy protection for student loans. Then in 1979, the Democrat-controlled Congress again made some changes to this. This concept, this bankruptcy protection in federal courts and laws, in law itself, they have played with this five times. And I'm going to show you, or I'm going to explain to you how the Republicans are basically left holding the bag. They've played with this in 79 again with Democrat-controlled Congress. Then in 1990 or 84, it was a split Congress. So we had Republicans and, in one side, I think it was the Senate, and the Democrats in the House. And so it was basically driven by the Democrats again, but the Republicans went along with it in 1984. In 1990, once again, the Democrats being in control, it was a midterm, and that's when they took control, they played with it again. And then in 1998, the midterms, when Bill Clinton was being impeached, and he got impeached, folks, in 1998, the Republicans opened it up again and maintained the protections when actually they could have gotten rid of the protections. Actually, they could have actually thrown this. So in other words, the Republicans saw this as an important win for government, that they wanted to make sure the government could get their pound of flesh, that you cannot use bankruptcy to get out of their onerous debt. In 2005 was the last time these acts or this concept of protecting student loans was played. And guess who had control of Congress? It was Republicans on both sides. So the last two times we could have actually gotten rid of this unconstitutional protection, and it just shows the thuggery of big government. They were maintaining this. And now today, if you look at how this is playing, there are members of Congress that are granting themselves direct forgiveness so that they don't have to pay that loan. And they're trying to do this, and they're trying to pass this so that all of the rest of the useful idiots in the Bolshevik Revolution that have all of this debt, but they don't have a job, but they're very useful, they want to waive this off as well. And folks, I am here to tell you that they should not be able to waive this off. You should have to go into bankruptcy court and you should wear the yoke of bankruptcy, because everybody understands there are consequences to you having to do that. At this point, nobody looks at you know, are you up on your student loans? Oh, no, I miss it, and so forth. I mean, it may be a mark on your credit, but almost everybody even overlooks it and says, oh, okay, well, that's student loans. Okay. You know, you can't get out from that. So, you know, what do you do? My friends, in essence, the Republicans have made in 1998 and 2005, basically the Republicans have gift-wrapped this whole concept for the progressives to be able to buy more votes, because you can see what they're doing is floating this idea that we want to forgive all your student debt. And you know that's absolutely wrong. In some way, some people look at bankruptcy as absolutely wrong. In America, bankruptcy, actually, if you actually went through bankruptcy, there was this thing called bankruptcy or debtor's prison. You would go into prison for it. We got away with that. Did you know that a Supreme Court justice actually had to step away from the court for a couple of years and go into the bankruptcy prison? Or debtor's prison. Thomas Jefferson probably should have gone into debtor's prison, but he was so land rich, he was able to mortgage a little bit more of his estate and a little bit more of his estate. It wasn't until the day he died when they actually foreclosed on his estate. And then the state of Virginia ended up later on coming back and basically buying up his estate and everything else and making it a historical monument. But anyhow, I digress. The whole point here, folks, is that we need to actually start looking at our bankruptcy laws. But more importantly, we need to recognize when we're seeing politicians floating out buying votes, whether that be for health care, whether that be for retirement with the Social Security back in the 30s. I am here to tell you that they've been using these tactics, and these tactics are technically illegal. You can't buy somebody's vote. And the fact of the matter is the Constitution doesn't allow political compromises to actually make something legal. The only way Social Security, the only way health care, the only way bankruptcy laws can be changed, or actually they have to amend the Constitution so that they can't have a uniform bankruptcy law, or I should say the mandate for a uniform bankruptcy law. It's right there in the Constitution. They can't make exceptions. It has to be uniform. In other words, all debtors should have the exclusion, or all debt must be forgivable via bankruptcy. We need to start looking into common law as well. As we've just wrapped up on the laws of nature, nature's God, and how common law kind of dovetails with that, I've put out a request. I've talked to them. I've not followed up, so the bottom line is my fault. I haven't pursued Brent Allen Winters to come on. I know he's off. He started his classes in teaching people about common law and common law grand juries. And so what I want to do is I want to actually get people more engaged and more educated. And I wanted to actually let everybody know how you, if you were interested in signing up for his classes, by all means do so. So anyway, I'm hoping to have him on soon. We're going to get some candidates in here, and we're going to get them to start talking about removing the Biden administration. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org
and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.